God's Word for You, Psalm 5, verses 1 to 6. Psalm 5, for the director of music, for flutes, a psalm of David. The flute is one of the oldest musical instruments. Some very ancient examples have been found made from bird and animal bones, but later, reeds or hollowed wooden tubes with drilled holes gave a more standardized sound and quality. In the scriptures, the flute is used for making merry, for mourning, for the coronation of kings, and for making music in general. It was an instrument for worship and, in 1 Samuel 10, connected with prophecy. This Psalm of David, accompanied by flutes, is a prayer for God's glory to reign supreme. It's an imprecatory prayer, which means that it invites God to judge and to punish his enemies. But the musician does not ask that this should be done for his sake. He only wants God's will to be at work and for the Lord to protect his people from their enemies. Verses 1 to 3. Hear my words, O Lord. Understand my whispering. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay out my requests before you and wait. David's references to mourning have some people, that is the early morning of the day, has led some people to think of this as a prayer for morning sacrifice, especially before the exile. There's also a curious turn of phrase in verse 3 where David says, I lay out my requests before you, using similar language to arranging the pieces of a sacrificial animal on the altar. It's a privilege for believers to approach God in prayer, whether this is silently or aloud or in music or, as David even says in verse 1, in whispering. He invites the faithful, God invites the faithful to come to him, to speak to him, and to ask him for those things that we need. Jesus especially lays this out for us in the Lord's Prayer with this outline. First, an address, like our Father. Then we confess that God's name is holy. We ask God to gather his kingdom, that is, to make believers. We ask God to carry out his will and his plan for the world. In the middle of the prayer, we ask God for our physical needs. Then, we also ask God for forgiveness, for deliverance from temptation, and deliverance from evil itself. Verses 4, 5, and 6. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who strive for wickedness. You destroy those who tell lies. The Lord abhors men of blood and deceit. Having turned to God in prayer, David asks God to carry out his will, especially among the wicked. Their judgment is not for us to carry out or to dictate. Just as David left wicked Saul's judgment for God to carry out, so also we should call on the Lord to judge those who turn away from him. There is quite a list of sins in these quick verses. Sinful arrogance, striving for wickedness, lying, being bloodthirsty, and deceit. First of all, sinful arrogance is another way of describing First Commandment sins, putting oneself above God's word and above God's will. Striving for wickedness is planning or plotting some wickedness ahead of time, like a man carrying a weapon into a crowd intent on using it, even if no particular person is in his mind. It is covetousness. Excuse me. It's covetousness in action. If lying is not thought to be a sin against the Eighth Commandment, and it is, it certainly is a violation of Leviticus 19:11, which says, do not lie, and Paul's words in Colossians 3:3, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Lying is sinning. Being bloodthirsty is being out for blood, intent on killing. This is a violation of the first, fourth, and fifth commandments, of course. The first, because God says, revenge is mine, in Romans 12:19. The fourth, because the Lord has given punishment into the hands of the state, and not to individuals or to mobs, as we read in Romans 13:3-4. And the fifth commandment, simply because it's murder, forbidden by the commandment in Exodus 20:13. Finally, deceit violates the eighth commandment and the second when we drag the Lord's name into the mud with our own dishonesty. The Lord punishes these sins and all others, but David teaches us to leave such punishment in the Lord's hands first, and in the hands of the state second, and when it becomes necessary for the state to act. We give God glory when we show him our trust, when we leave these things in his hands. This is also an incentive to lead a more godly life, since God punishes in eternity, and he empowers the state to punish in this lifetime. So we strive to lead a godly life, and a quiet life, and a life that tests the soul, and a life imitating the faith of those given to us as examples. In this way, we will be examples for those who will come after us, and to show with our lives what trust in Christ means, even when put to the test. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.